Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of Business Line Context, the podcast where we bring you stories behind the news. I'm your host, T.R. Vivek. Any Mamata Banerjee visit to Delhi is never short on drama. The defining statement of her visit to the capital in the last 2 days has been, "Why should we meet Sonia Gandhi every time? It is not constitutionally mandated," she said, when asked about why she gave the Congress president a miss. Besides the customary meeting with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, she met up with Subramanian Swamy, still nominally a BJP Rajya Sabha MP, but now a professional Twitter sniper who targets his party and the PM relentlessly. Swamy, ever the man of moderation, compared her to Jayaprakash Narayan and Morarji Desai. There was also time for Didi to induct former JDU spokesperson and diplomat Pawan Verma into her party. While not electorally relevant, are Swamy and Verma a weather vane to indicate Mamata might be the focal point around whom the opposition would coalesce to take on Prime Minister Modi in 2024? To discuss Mamata machinations in national politics, I'm joined by Purnima Joshi, Business Line's political editor and Delhi bureau chief. Welcome to BL Context, Purnima.
Hi, Vivek.
Is Mamata planning to cook up a Koshamang show without Congress?
Yeah, well, it's a show of strength, Vivek. Also, Mamata is a regional party, but they've got a big boost after the West Bengal elections. And she is in the national consciousness, definitely, for having been the one who defeated Amit Shah and Modi with such a decisive mandate. It's not against Congress so much. You can't have a, let's be very clear, you can't have an opposition coalition without the Congress being part of it. Congress does have 19% of the national vote share. Mamata's national vote share is still 3-4%. So you can't have this, but she would like to show the Congress its place because the Congress played dirty in the West Bengal elections. They sided with the left. They tried to cut her down to size and she managed to sideline them effectively and emerged as the sole candidate in West Bengal. Since then, it has been a consistent chipping away at the Congress. In Haryana, for instance, there are two parts to it. One is the Trinamool Congress's national ambitions, in that she has to chip away at both national parties, the Congress as well as the BJP. So if you look at the people who are joining the TMC, it's Congress. So her former Haryana Congress chief Ashok Tanwar has joined the TMC recently.
There was a defection in Meghalaya as well, where
defection there, Trinamool Congress official, sort of there, I'm part of their reporters group. And they have very cheerfully informed us that out of the 18 MLAs in Meghalaya, 12 are slated to join the Trinamool Congress. These are Congress MLAs. But even from the BJP, Kirti Azad has joined them. So Pawan Verma, of course, very vocal face. And along with Pawan Verma, you have very public influencers like Saket Gokhale, RTI activist based in Bombay. They would be TMC spokespersons, national spokespersons. So TMC obviously has national ambitions. And in East India, particularly in the Northeast, TMC is definitely gaining ground. They are finding roots like Pawan Verma and Saket Gokhale and Kirti Azad may be poster boys. But here you have real-time MLAs, legislators who are joining the Trinamool, 12 MLAs. So how does Mamata do it? Is by undermining the principal opposition. Mamata had no problem in accepting Sonia Gandhi as her superior in the Congress. But in the Congress's succession plan, Rahul Gandhi's anointment doesn't work well with Mamata. She thinks that she's senior to Rahul Gandhi. She thinks that she has more political mettle, all of which may be true. But it's also the logic and the rationale behind the Congress's succession, where Congress itself, a lot of the congressmen are fighting it. So Rahul Gandhi's rise in the Congress coincides with all these developments and regional chieftains like Amrinder Singh being upset by this transition.
So Congress has its own compulsions in anointing Rahul Gandhi. How can Mamata Banerjee hope to influence what the Congress does with its leadership question?
That is a separate story altogether, Vivek, in the sense that the Congress has a lot of dissidents and Rahul Gandhi has no political capital as of now. Under his charge, the Congress has lost two successive general elections with a decisive mandate for the BJP. So he has very little political capital. But also, no one in among the dissidents is willing to take on Rahul Gandhi with the clarity and precision that is required. So Gandhi's may be politically down, but internally, structurally, nobody in the Congress is ready to challenge them in a direct vote. So that's why Rahul Gandhi is saying, let there be organizational elections. The process has already started in the Congress. From the district levels, they will appoint district office bearers, state office bearers, who will then in turn elect the All India Congress Committee, which will then gather for a vote for the president. And anybody, anyone among them, whether it's Shashi Tharoor or Chidambaram or Manish Tiwari or any one of them, Ghulam Nabi Azad, they can file in as a rival to Rahul Gandhi and fight the election. But they're not willing to do that. They're not willing to go that far. Because whether Rahul Gandhi has proved his political mettle outside is a different question than whether he has organizational support, which he seems to have. So in Punjab, if you saw, Amrinder Singh was literally shunted out. He was pulled out of his ear and he was replaced by Channi, who's a good candidate politically. He's entirely the Gandhi's choice. They've managed to sideline Sidhu and they've appointed their chief minister of choice. Among the rest of the provinces where the Congress is in power, whether it's Rajasthan and Chhattisgarh particularly, Congress has a very big majority in Chhattisgarh. They have a powerful chief minister in Bhupesh Baghel, who's a total Rahul Gandhi acolyte. So if there are organizational elections, these chief ministers will have the power to galvanize and get cadre support. Ashok Gehlot, again, in the internal dissensions that are happening in Rajasthan in the Congress, Sachin Pilot, who was known as the dissident, has been effectively cornered. And now he's towing Ashok Gehlot's line, and Ashok Gehlot would be supporting the Gandhis in the succession battle.
To come back to Mamata, this jockeying to be the first among the equals to take on Mr. Modi. Haven't we seen this movie before with Arvind Kejriwal and Nitish Kumar playing the lead roles at various times?
Yes, it's not different from them. I mean, they all have political ambitions. Nitish Kumar has been gobbled up by the BJP. He has shot himself in the foot. He doesn't stand a chance anymore. If he had remained with the opposition, so whatever compulsions drove him, and we saw it with Lalu's incarceration for almost 4 years, is that there were compulsions for Nitish Kumar to join hands with the BJP again and backstab Lalu. His national ambitions are over as far as national politics are concerned.
Is this a rerun of the same story? Is it feasible?
Yeah, well, there have been alliance prime ministers in the past, especially in the thick of the coalition era in the late 90s. You had, you know, absolute nondescript people like Gujral, Inder Singh Gujral and Devegowda becoming prime ministers. But that era is gone now. And any party, so we've had coalitions. UPA was a
would
coalition.
Would be a tad unfair to call Devegowda nondescript. I mean,
well, Karnataka
may take offense.
Yeah, Karnataka may take offense. But, you know, like Mamata Banerjee, he was a regional leader. Let's be very fair. He was no match for the Congress or the BJP or even the left at that point, which had governments in Kerala, West Bengal and Tripura. So he was a regional player. But he was chosen because that time the socialists and their various hues were more in force in national politics. So he was propelled for those reasons, not that he had a national presence. But since then, coalitions like UPA had Congress chief minister. They were a coalition
and
the prime ministerial candidate as Congress wielded the power. And here, of course, there is no question of anybody else being prime minister except the BJP and Modi. But now regional chieftains have become emboldened because of the decreasing political capital of the Congress. And these kind of efforts are seen again. And Mamata has been with the Congress for a very long time. She was with the Congress. She separated. She managed to create a very successful party, regional party. So she's got emboldened. Her leadership mantle now passes to her younger nephew, Abhishek Banerjee. She's attracted a lot of regional leaders, particularly in the Northeast, to her party. So she's becoming an Eastern giant. And she's hired Prashant Kishore. His political consultancy, IPAC, has signed up for a 5-year contract with the TMC. This is the largest commitment and the longest commitment for this company, which has a good success rate in managing elections in several states. So they are able to do stuff like polling voters or, you know, managing booths to larger messaging. IPAC is currently recruiting a whole lot of youngsters for its TMC's expansion plan. So Mamata has a blueprint. And she thinks that if she strikes out big, and she is the second largest opposition party in Lok Sabha right now. So they have a blueprint. They first explored the possibility of enrolling and making it work in harmony with her and other regional players. The Congress believe that the Congress cannot be relied upon to form a robust opposition. So let us first strengthen ourselves and then enroll the Congress and let's see then what happens.
Is Mamata snubbing of Sonia, in a sense, not deciding to meet her, is just preliminary posturing to sort of drive a bargain when the time for it comes and to send a signal to the other opposition parties that, look, I matter more than the Congress and Sonia Gandhi?
Yes. So it's like you strengthen your base, you expand yourself as much as possible. You see, Mamata came into being a political entity as powerful as she is right now by demolishing the Congress in Bengal. So it would depend on, for instance, the upcoming elections, assembly elections. Now, how does the Congress do in the upcoming elections? In Uttar Pradesh, how do things pan out? In Punjab, if they manage to win decisively the Congress, what happens in the rest of the, there are five states that are going to polls in early 2022. How much political capital does Congress and Rahul Gandhi, who has been very, very supportive of this farmers' agitation, his video saying, you mark my words, farm laws are going to be repealed, that has been doing the rounds. So he's got some cheer.
That is quite predictable. I mean, Rahul Gandhi's Twitter brigade will obviously celebrate that. I mean,
as an opposition leader,
you're bound to say that these laws will fail.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, almost like fait accompli, and you're taking credit for it.
Yeah, well,
that is a bizarre spectacle, if you ask me, with Rahul.
Yeah, well, he would. You see, the thing is that you can't fault him. There were other opposition leaders. Rahul Gandhi was the most vocal in his support to the farm movement. And so was the Congress in Punjab. I mean, they didn't have an option, but they really rallied around. So now it would now, for instance, depend on how many Congress, regional Congress players with their mass base migrate to the TMC. What happens in the next elections? Can she rope in the DMK, the Shiv Sena, the NCP, the BJD, the YSRCP and TRS? Then if the Samajwadi Party manages to win UP, for instance, I'm just presenting a scenario to you, then the whole opposition calculations change, because SP striking big in UP changes the regional equations also. Uttar Pradesh decides who comes to Delhi. So right now, everybody gains by demolishing the Congress. And also they'll try and chip away at the BJP. The larger aim is to defeat the BJP.
How is the BJP viewing all this? I suspect they'd be a bit happy. Any chipping away of the Congress or giving them a bloody nose by a member of the opposition?
Yeah, you see, BJP is not so much bothered about the Congress as it is. One must understand that the challenge to the BJP does not come solely from the Congress. It comes from a variety of factors, including regional chauvinism, subnationalism. Where has the BJP been cornered in this larger Hindu, Hindi, Hindustan narrative? Is a place like Bengal, which is strong subnationalism, Bangla identity, Bihar, even Bihari versus Bahari was an issue. Then you have Tamil Nadu, you have Kerala, where there are strong regional sentiments, which the BJP is not able to counter with this very Hindi kind of heartland narrative. It's cultural in nature. It's also chauvinism of a certain kind, which rebels against this Hindi identity, Hindu identity as a whole. Also, it comes from caste factors. The larger identity of Hindutva is threatened by the stratifications within the Hindu society. So these are big challenges for the BJP in terms of mainstream politics. Congress benefits from some of this, but Congress as a whole doesn't have that identity. It doesn't have the identity that Mamata has, a very strong regional Bangla identity. Congress has a national identity. So regional players do threaten the BJP quite a lot in their political narrative. BJP is not able to counter it. For instance, in Tamil Nadu, it's very, very difficult for BJP to counter the DMK, which has deep roots in its cultural regional identity, as opposed to this larger Hindutva identity that the BJP is trying to promote.
Purnima, any further weakening of the Congress, might it not help the BJP? Might it not be counterproductive in places where there is a direct fight, and these are large parts of India, where there is a direct fight between the BJP?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to understand that in parliamentary elections, chipping away of the Congress does help the BJP, but
Congress still has a substantial sort of 17-18% of the vote, which is up for the taking for the BJP.
Sure, that is between the Congress and the BJP. But for instance, there's a different calculus that operates in regional elections vis-a-vis the national elections. So obviously, in places like Bengal and Tamil Nadu and all, these people remain steadfast and they have the same kind of showing as they do in assemblies, whether it's DMK or TMC in West Bengal. But so far as a place like UP is concerned, maybe the voter behavior is slightly different. UP, Delhi, Haryana, Punjab, or Rajasthan for that matter, voter behavior would be different. Congress is not helped by the regional players gaining ground, but I doubt if Mamta is going to make much of a difference. Mamta or AAP are going to make much of a difference to Congress's prospects in UP, which are anyway very zilch. Everybody's trying to find their corner and expand. So AAP, for instance, threatens the BJP also somewhat in these provinces. So it takes away the urban kind of fence-sitters as much as the Congress does.
With the AAP, there seems to be a feeling that they've settled into this, you know, rhythm of you take the center, you take the parliamentary elections, you know, we will continue to rule here. And people say there is very little to differentiate between the ideological inclinations of the BJP and the AAP increasingly.
They started from an anti-corruption movement, which is in itself a very urban reactionary sentiment. It was an anti-political movement. I mean, if you remember, Anna Hazare movement had a strain of very, very anti-political politician parliament streak in it. They were the people, they captured the ground and they said, bring in the Lokpal. And, you know, one wonders, Lokpal was their ideological identity. Corruption was their ideological identity. Where is Lokpal now? So the ideological moorings of Aam Aadmi Party were quite identical to the BJP to begin with. They were, in fact, supported by the RSS. The anti-corruption movement and India Against Corruption had a large force of the RSS cadre working for it, because at that point, the Congress was in power and whoever strikes at the political dominance of the Congress at that point, and if the movement, just like the BJP would accuse the left and left-centered unions to be capturing the farm movement, because ultimately who benefits from the farm movement politically, in real politic terms, it's the opposition, it's the Congress. So the left unions, some of them are very radical left movements in organizing the farmers. They have nothing to do with electoral politics. In fact, they don't believe in parliamentary politics. But their agitation helps the Congress in Punjab. Similarly, Anna Hazare's movement helped the BJP. They created a vacuum, anti-Congress sentiment, for which they didn't have the political vehicle to fill that vacuum. BJP had the political vehicle and they created the need for a strong leader who would come and demolish the Congress. At that time, anti-Congress sentiment was inscripted in popular imagination by the Anna Hazare movement. So the vacuum for Mr. Modi to step in was created by Anna Hazare, in which he was helped a lot by the RSS cadre, just as the left is helping out the farmers movement, which may ultimately benefit the Congress. So that is how these movements work. So in terms of ideology, I don't think Arvind Kejriwal was very different from the BJP to begin with.
Punima, what is the likelihood of the Congress swallowing the bitter pill and conceding Mamata as the totemic face of opposition? And what must Mamata do to make that happen?
So Congress knows that without the alliance partners, without them having their say, they wouldn't be anywhere. So they would admit that, and their advisors would tell them to bow to Mamata at that point, because ultimately Mamata harms the BJP. You know, BJP has 18 seats in Bengal, and Mamata becoming stronger and having a national face helps her in parliamentary elections. It doesn't help the Congress. But ultimately, in national calculations, it helps the Congress, because Mamata cannot go with the BJP if there is an alliance to be formed. So she would try to increase her tally. Now, as I said, it all depends on how the next round of assembly elections pan out. How much does the Congress manage to win? Do they manage to get their house together internally and have a president in place by 2022? And then we are poised for 2024.
Nima, you spoke of Sonia's inclination for politics of cooperation and alliance. Is that view shared by the sort of Young Turks and Rahul Gandhi supporters?
Not so much. I think Rahul Gandhi is a very different political creature than Sonia Gandhi. But he has to also bow to what happens in the elections, ultimately. Mm-hmm. If he's able to get his house together, become the president, Congress manages to have a decisive mandate in some of the assemblies and they are poised. And this whole business about political economy triumph Hindutva, like UP, I believe this is a real challenge for the BJP right now. Why have they yesterday in the cabinet, they decided to extend the free ration scheme for another 4 months. BJP is leaving no stone unturned, but their major strike is on the Hindutva basis. But they also know that the price rise, farm movement, all of these issues are also, if they gain predominance in the voters' mind, then the BJP has something to fear. So it depends on how much BJP is going to rally people around, still around Mr. Modi and Mr. Yogi. If the BJP wins decisively in UP, then these players will have to get together and there would be no space to negotiate other than the Congress and within them. So right now, I think what everybody is doing is trying to consolidate their base and expand as much as possible. And if Mamata expands at the cost of the Congress, so be it. And Rahul Gandhi would also try to expand and push these people into their provinces as much as he can. So there would be a struggle from both the parties. Ultimately, it will depend on how many seats they get on the table and how many provinces they have.
Poonima, finally, on a lighter note, as a long-time observer of Indian politics, what do you make of Subramanyam Swamy comparing Mamata with JP and Morarji Desai?
You see, one would not compare and try to analyze Mr. Swamy's pronouncements. He was an ardent critic of the BJP at one point, and then he joined them. And he was an ardent critic of AIADMK for the longest time. You know, then he became a critic of them. So how he plays politics is beyond me to politically and rationally analyze, actually.